journey with Elisha calls their attention to the hostilities that Israel faced. And you'll find that in the Bible, we read of powers and principalities and battles in the spiritual realm. Yet often we only get a few glimpses of them. It's interesting in Psalm 34 that Craig read out, it spoke about being surrounded by the angels, protecting us, which comes into our scripture today. Anyway, the passage today is one of those times. It's a passage where we get to see the unseen and glimpse how the angelic realm participates and also interacts with the human realm. So we find that through this story, we see our constant need to have our spiritual eyes opened. The king of Aram, that's Syria, he continually sent raiding parties to plunder the Jews. They would cross the border, they would then invade the towns. But as we will see, that even when surrounded by enemies, God can and will still deliver his people. We're going to look at a reading which is 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 23. It's quite long, but it gets you the gist of the whole story. So 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 23. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words that you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you're looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were, inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill those that you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Quite a remarkable story here. We see that Elisha's ministry was not just to the school of prophets that we've read of previously. The Lord would use his ministry on a much larger scale. As we see, the Syrians would send raiding parties into Israel, but their top secret plans kept getting spoiled by Elisha, notifying the king of Israel in advance. How annoying would that be? Can there be anything worse than having your plans for some easy pickings getting scuppered by some know-all prophet? We are told that the king of Aram was enraged because at first he thought he had a traitor in his camp who was passing on this information, obviously in advance before his troops went out. And when you put yourself in the king of Aram's shoes, we can understand how frustrating it would be to come up with a secret plan only to find that your enemy already knows about it. You would clearly think, where's the grass? Who is it that's letting on about all this? Someone must be playing both sides here. And then when the king finds out that there isn't a mole, it's just this man, Pharaoh, the one who knows the very words the king speaks in private, even in his bedroom. Obviously, the king's plan now has to be adapted. So much so that the plans change from warring against Israel and raiding them to catching this troublemaker. Basically, let's take out Elisha. How things change. You know, from an earlier study in chapter 5 of 2 Kings, it was this same king of Aram who sent Naaman, the commander of his army, to be healed of leprosy. What a short memory he's got. This same man that he now pursues is the one who healed his commander of his army. So obviously, it didn't take long for normal relations to resume. And again, it was back to war now. Do you know, in many ways, we can relate to this, to life as a Christian, because we are in a battle. There will be times when we think the enemy has left us alone, but we have an enemy that actually hates us. He does not want God to be worshipped. He detests the good news being shared. He will distract believers from fellowshipping together like this. Now, I have friends, that may come as a surprise, but I have friends who love to share the good news. Every opportunity they get, they love to share something about Jesus. But the very thing that has frustrated those plans is not having a church that they call home. How can you invite someone to a church or a Bible study for them to grow and know the Lord when you don't fellowship with the church? There are some times we hinder God's plans simply by the choices that we make. And there are times where we're working with the enemy because he does not want us to fellowship together. He does not want God to be worshipped. And then Jesus declared in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus is warning us of the enemy's strategy. He comes to rob us of our hope, kill our faith, and destroy our witness for God. That's his sole aim. His way of attack may differ from the king of Aram and what the Israelites were facing, but his intent is the same. Elisha may have received direct revelation from God to hinder the plans of the enemy, but for us, we've been given the revealed word of God to give us strategy, to make us aware of the enemy's tactics. So the spiritual battle continues today. Don't be fooled into believing that that was then, this is now, it doesn't happen anymore. We need to know the truth that God is on our side. Without him, we wouldn't stand a chance against such a powerful enemy. So thankfully, we're not alone. But we must continue to seek him, to worship him, and to fellowship with him. And of course, there will be times when we take our eyes off the Lord. That's when we perhaps get overwhelmed with fear, or maybe we get distracted by another matter or another person. Look what happened with Elisha's servant. When the king of Aram had the city surrounded by an army with horses and chariots. Now remember, all this was just to take out one man. it might appear a bit of overkill, but the enemy is obviously serious about the removal of God's anointed. All the servant could see was the danger. And he says, "Oh my Lord, what shall we do?" Fear does that. It gets you to a place where you cannot see anything other than the obstacle that lies before you. Our faith is not only challenged, but fear distracts you to such a place that our faith either weakens or it can even disappear. In the natural, that's exactly what happens. When you look around at the hopelessness of a situation and you just cry out, even if it's quietly, into yourself, "Oh no, there's nothing I can do. There is no way out." There are times where we all need the faith of others. Faith of others to help us in these times. Just as Elisha had to point out to his servant, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now, initially, on hearing that, what would you think about that advice? Has he lost it? Does he not see what I see? Has he went nuts? You know, when you look around, you know you can see the obstacles. It's very hard to hear someone say, "Don't be afraid." So you see, simply saying to someone, "Don't be afraid," isn't always enough. There has to be some kind of support. And I'm sure Elisha's servant must have looked around to see that those that are with them, and all he can see is the King of Aram's chariots and his soldiers. They were outnumbered by the enemy. Is this no strange words to speak to him in that situation? There are more with us than is with them. It's when Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And he did. All the hills were filled with horses and chariots of fire surrounding them. Wow, what an amazing sight that would be. You know, one of the songs we sang is that about God and about the miracles that he does. There are miracles happening around us all the time. And sometimes we just don't open our eyes spiritually to see them. There are many things you and I will have missed over the years, but I'm sure God will reveal it at some point. They were protected all along, but the servant at that point didn't know it. What an amazing scene and an incredible glimpse into the supernatural. If any harm was to come to Elisha or his servant, the armies of Aram have to get through these angelic warriors first. What Elisha's servant had to learn is the same lesson for us as God's servants. Our great need is to have our eyes opened spiritually. There are days where we just let life go past and we don't think or look around us to see what God is doing or what God is saying. We just go on with life and it can overwhelm us. And before you know it, another day has went past without considering what is God doing, what is God saying at this time. In Psalm 91, verse 11, it says, "For he will command his angels concerning you in all your ways." God commands angels over us. In Hebrews, in New Testament, Hebrews 1:14, it says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Angels are sent by God to protect us and help us inherit his full kingdom. Scripture tells us that angels are his servants, carrying out his will and work for our good. Incredible. Angels are fascinating spiritual beings. Not only do they serve, you know, a role as God's messengers, but they are also his warriors. His warriors. They praise and worship God while also protecting and directing us on his behalf. When we get to heaven, we'll probably be amazed to discover just how often God's angels protected us, or intervened on our behalf. So whether you realise it or not, angels are watching over you, even at this very moment. Who knows what spiritual forces are getting kept out of this meeting today? There are things like that that we just don't realise are going on around us. What a wonderful creator God is, to consider something like that, that we should be worthy of his protection. The Apostle John gives insight into what we will see someday in Revelation 5, verse 11, when he says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders." Well, considering this situation, we can see what happens when we don't see the things with spiritual eyes. Elisha's servant was in panic mode, whilst we find that Elisha remained calm because of what he could see. Our sense of peace is dependent upon what we can see spiritually. We'll lose our peace dead easy when we look around us and things annoy us or hurt us or frighten us. And yet, when we take that time to consider that God is protecting us, that God does surround us, that his word does not lie, that's the truth. Elisha's sense of peace kept him safe, and that's when he turned to prayer. Knowing the enemy was advancing towards him, he simply prayed, "Lord, strike this army with blindness." And this prayer was miraculously answered, as the army were kept from recognizing Elisha, the very man that they pursued. He goes up to them, and he calmly led them into the Israelite city of Samaria, into the hands of the king of Israel. And it's at this point, once they arrive there, Elisha prays again that they might see where they were. Now they find themselves captive and prisoners of war. And at this point, the king of Israel seems frustrated and uncertain of, what am I going to do? Thinking that their destruction would be the way to remove this menace. And yet you find Elisha, so often, he parallels the Lord himself by his actions. The act of mercy and the abundant provision was used to convince, to convict, and even shame the enemy, but not kill them. Elisha's actions communicated God's grace and God's mercy. He sought neither vengeance, praise, or even reward. He simply gave instruction. You know, the power of God is always greater than the enemy. In fact, he often uses these situations to manifest his power in order to draw men to himself. I want to share a story with you that was reported by a medical missionary. He was at his home church in Michigan while he was in furlough. This is back in September in 1991. Where he gets up and he shares with the church. He says, "While serving a small field hospital in Africa, I travelled every 2 weeks by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This required camping overnight halfway. On one of these trips, I saw two men fighting in the city. One was seriously injured. So I treated him and I witnessed to him of the Lord Jesus Christ. I then returned home without incident. Upon arriving in the city several weeks later, I was approached by the man I had treated earlier, and he told me that he'd known that I carried money and medicine. He said, 'Some friends and I followed you into the jungle, knowing that you would camp overnight. We waited for you to go to sleep, and we planned to kill you and take your money and drugs. Just as we were about to move into your campsite, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards.'" He says, "I laughed at this. And I said, I was certainly all alone out in that jungle campsite. This young man pressed the point. No, sir, I was not the only one to see those guards. My five friends also saw them, and we all counted them. It was because of those guards that they were afraid and left you alone. At this point in the church presentation, one of the men in the church jumped up and interrupted the missionary, and he asked, "Can you tell me the exact date when that happened?" The missionary thought for a while and he recalled the date. The man in the congregation then told this side of the story. He says, "On that night in Africa, it was morning here. I was preparing to play golf, and as I put my bag in the car, I felt the Lord leading me to pray for you. In fact, the urging was so strong that I called the men of this church together to pray for you." And then he turned round to the church and said, "Will all of those men who responded and prayed with me please stand up?" The men who had met that day to pray together all stood. There was 26 of them. God is working still today in the supernatural. Lord, open our eyes that we may see what you're doing in these days. So often we just allow life to go one week into another without realizing how much God is at work. There are situations where we should be calling on the angels to protect us. Grace and I have prayed with a number of people. We will often pray that. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes spiritually, just as we see in this situation that we read between Elisha and the king of Aram's men. God has promised to be with us, to give his angels charge over us. What we need are the eyes of faith to see and believe God for the fact of his divine presence. Do not underestimate the power of prayer. There are things when we pray are going on in the unseen realm, in the spiritual realm. There are times where we are connecting with God through those as we seek him. God is at work. He's at work amongst his people. I would encourage you to follow any promptings that the Holy Spirit lays on your heart. There are some times through the week where somebody comes into your mind or a situation. Perhaps that's a prompting. Just pray for that person on the spot. Just lift them up before God. You just never know what's going on in their life. And you or I could be the one that God's calling to pray for them at that particular time or situation. So follow the promptings that the Holy Spirit lays in your hearts. Don't ignore them and just pass it as a thought to be ignored. Prayer also opens our eyes to the spiritual reality. So even though you or I may never get to see a vision of God's angels surrounding us, they're there. They are there. If you believe the word that's written in the Word of God, then that's the truth. And perhaps we need to accept it and learn it, because God has not abandoned us. Even when we are surrounded by the enemy, even when life is difficult, God is still there and amongst that. Because in Christ, we have access to God as our all-sufficient treasure. May we learn to know God as Elisha did and to pray as he prayed, that we will not panic, we will not chase or be drawn into fear when things, our trials hit us. Let me assure you, people of God, God is with us. Amen? Amen, amen. I'm going to hand over Craig and Liz to lead us in our closing worship.
Let's just stand together and finish our